The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Well, as you've all figured out by now, Craig is on vacation. This is Kelly Carpenter sitting in with you today for your What Do You Think program. And our guests this morning are Wing Commander Colonel Curtis Bowman of the Civil Air Patrol, and also Lieutenant Colonel Chris Felton. And Chris actually had the privilege of flying in for today's show. And we are going to be talking about the Civil Air Patrol and what it has been doing, its history, and what it's going to mean for our local area. So thank you both for being here today. First, let's get started with a little bit of what is Civil Air Patrol. What do people know Civil Air Patrol as?
Well, first of all, thank you, Kelly, for having us here today. It's our pleasure. Good morning. Civil Air Patrol is the official civilian auxiliary of the United States Air Force. It's part of the total Air Force family, which includes the active duty Air Force, the reserves, and the Air National Guard. And now it also includes Civil Air Patrol. We're in our 75th year, so December 1st will be our 75th anniversary. And we have three primary missions as directed by Congress. The first mission is aerospace education, explaining to the public and to our own members and teaching our own members about the importance of aerospace and STEM, science, technology, and those things. And then we have our cadet program, which is a leadership development program that we work with cadets from sixth grade through the age of 21. And they work on leadership development and learning how to lead small groups and then moving up to large groups. And then we have our emergency services, which is one of the things that we're probably best known for. And we get the highest visibility because of our emergency services, where we do search and rescue, disaster relief. We work with the Air Force, the Guard, and the Michigan State Police here in Michigan. And we work with some of the local sheriffs also.
Okay. So the Civil Air Patrol, as a history, 75 years, started off just, what did you say?
Just
prior to World War II.
Yes.
Yep. One week prior to the bombing at Pearl Harbor is when Civil Air Patrol actually was formed.
And they were actually used during that time frame.
Yeah, Civil Air Patrol at that time did a lot for the country in the way of patrolling the borders, coastlines, looking for German U-boats. In fact, we actually credited with the sinking of two U-boats. We did crazy things like pull targets aloft, used airplanes to tow targets that the Navy used to practice bombardment, and, you know, tried to, as far as surface to air bombardment.
And this would be like when you see an airplane dragging one of the Will You Marry signs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they were a big target so that people could shoot at.
Yes, imagine them towing that target and the Navy shooting at that target behind the little airplane. Yes,
okay. That's a big thing. So they started off in World War II, but things have progressed quite a bit since then. I mean, it's developed into a lot more than that. And in fact, you on a state level, there's quite a few units around the state that already are very well established.
There are. We have 48 units around the state, stretching from the Keweenaw Peninsula to all the way down to Monroe in the southeast corner and Benton Harbor in the southwest corner, and pretty much everywhere in between. The Thumb is one area that we don't have a current active unit in, and it's one of the reasons why Colonel Felton is working on establishing a unit here in Bad Axe.
And that's something that is in the works. This is something that's going to happen.
That's correct. We have a fledgling unit. We haven't officially chartered it yet, but we do have, we already have a few members that have signed up, are interested, and are on our roster. We need a few more to be able to officially charter. So right now, these members are assigned to the East Michigan group, and I command that group. And we also have a couple of other squadrons in that group, one in Caro, the Tawas area. We have one there. That's our Cass River squadron. We have a Lapeer squadron. We have two squadrons in Flint. So this will be the 5th Squadron for East Michigan Group. But there's other nearby squadrons, Saginaw, Port Huron, and a variety around the area. These are just the ones that would be in my group, which is East Michigan Group 701.
Okay. And so to be a part of this this unit, the Civil Air Patrol, you have to be a pilot?
No. We're very interested in pilots because we are the Civil Air Patrol, and a lot of what we do is flying, whether that's search and rescue flying or doing orientation rides for cadets. We fly gliders. We have a great aviation program. And so anybody interested in aviation or that has their pilot's license, we're very interested in talking to them because they're a real asset to Civil Air Patrol. But as Colonel Bomer said, we also, you know, we're interested in teachers, particularly science, math, technology folks, but other people. Retirees are great. People that are retired from the military. One of our newest members for the Baddock Squadron, he's a retired Air Force Senior Master Sergeant. He's going to be a great asset because he already, you know, it's part of, you know, his training from early in the Air Force. He knows exactly what type of work we do and you know how to wear the uniform, customs and courtesies, things of that sort. I will say though that the people we're looking for, really from all walks of life. Pilots are great, and we'll take pilots, but first responders, another good group. I mentioned, teachers.
Right.
But I think any civic-minded individual, if you're patriotic, you want to try to do something for your community in a time of crisis or just every day, come out, work with cadets. We need people that are IT professionals. We need people that are good at talking on the radio, interviewing with you. Those are our public affairs officers.
Right.
We need people that enjoy hiking and camping and, you know, can be served maybe on a CAP ground team to go look for a downed pilot or a missing hiker. So really, you know, there's no limit. For senior members, you just have to be 18. And we have a application process where we'll help to, you know, kind of determine that member's level of interest, prospective member, and find them a good fit. So, yeah, we're very interested in talking to people that are, you know, that might want to join, and especially for this new Baddock Squadron.
Right.
Absolutely. The vast majority of our members are not pilots. As a matter of fact, while Major Felton is a pilot and a very accomplished pilot, I am not. And so...
But you use your skills to help the cadet programs.
I use my skills to work with aerospace education and in cadets. I'm also a ranked observer, and so I know I've been on an air crew. I don't fly air crew now. As the wing commander, I stay on the ground and shake hands and encourage people to do great jobs, because that's really part of what I do. But I've been on air crews in the past and looked for lost and distressed aircraft and people. And so there's all sorts of opportunities. Civil Air Patrol does a lot of aerial photography right now. And so we're looking for people who are interested in photography and who may be professional photographers, but may just be learning. And we have training programs to teach you how to do that.
Okay, so when we talk like the different things that the Civil Air Patrol does, you mentioned the rescue missions. There have been some of those in the state of Michigan.
Yes.
Whether it be hikers or snowmobilers or something along that lines. But they also mentioned the fact that sometimes you work with Border Patrol and patrolling the lakes and what have you as well for the state police, correct?
Correct. We work with Border Patrol and Customs on some Homeland Security issues, and then we have worked in the past with local sheriffs and doing shore patrol, pre-emergency searches is really what we kind of call them now.
Okay.
The official kind of name for them would be pre-emergency searches to prevent an emergency from happening. So distressed boaters that haven't maybe called in or haven't gotten into a dire emergency at that point in time.
Which would be kind of ideal for our situation because you could help out the local authorities here.
Absolutely.
Just kind of keep an eye on things with the amount of shoreline that we have. You want to be able to preempt anything before it turns into something not good at all.
Yeah, CAP is really a not only is a very robust, you know, platform with we have a lot of aircraft in Michigan. We have 12 aircraft based in Michigan, plus two gliders. I mentioned that we fly with the cadets quite a bit, the gliders, but we do we have aircraft. CAP has 550 aircraft assigned, the largest fleet of single engine aircraft in the world, and those aircraft are all paid for by tax dollars. That's part of our relationship with the Air Force. They provide those aircraft for us so that if there is a downed pilot or a missing hiker or lost snowmobilers, a weather disaster, we're able to go out and respond to that. So we have some of the very best equipment available. And I think that mission of being able to do what we call the sundowner patrol, or looking for those stranded boaters at the end of the day that can't make it back to port. Now, it's very easy for us to spot that. It's very economical way to search and then relay that information to, you know, the sheriff's department, local law enforcement, where they can go out and, you know, then help and secure that boater.
Right. And like, for example, the type of planes that you have, the 560, you said?
550, 60.
50. What type of planes are we talking about here?
Well, I guess since I'm...
You're the pilot. You talk.
Yes, sir, I am.
Fun. That's what I call them. I call them fun planes.
The fun planes?
The fun planes.
We have a variety of Cessna aircraft. We typically fly slow, high-wing aircraft, and that's because with the high wing, the observers and the scanners, the air crew that we bring on board, they're able to best view the ground and look for, you know, maybe wreckage or again, a missing vehicle, missing hiker.
And I believe what we talked about before, as I was using examples of different aircrafts, you mm-hmm. mentioned the high wing and the low wing.
Right.
Now, the high wing means that the window of the aircraft is below the wing, correct?
Right. The wing is right across the top of the aircraft.
And so that allows you to see below.
Right, right. Whereas a low wing, the wing actually interferes with your view of the ground. So when we're doing, again, like aerial photography or doing a photography mission, you know, we can't have the wing blocking the, you know, our view, right?
Correct. Okay, so... we talk about the fact that you wish to develop a unit here in this area. So in order to develop this unit, you have certain members that are interested now, but you have to have more to be interested. How can they find out more information? How can they be a part of this if they're interested?
Sure. Well, we do currently, we're meeting, we're having meetings the second Thursday of each month, and that's at the Bad Axe Airport. So a person that's interested can feel free to come to the airport, and we'll talk to them, interview them, and give them, you know, a background, a presentation on CAP to see what exactly, you know, their fit might be and, you know, what they might be interested in. I really want to find folks that want to serve, they want to do something for their community, but it's also, it's going to be a fun fit for them. You know, you might be an accountant, or you might, maybe you work in IT, or maybe you're a teacher, and you don't want to do that for CAP. That might be your area, your specialty, but maybe you can come to CAP and say, hey, I want to be air crew, I want to fly, or I want to work with cadets or go out on a ground team. So sometimes people, you know, they'll take a
different road from what you,
precisely,
but it's still
precisely right, because, you know, but other people, they're very happy with their day job, what they do, and they want to do more of that, and they want to do it for their community and their country. So we offer that opportunity, really.
So what type of training does one get after they become a member of the Civil Air Patrol?
Well, we have what we call level one training, which has a lot to do with you know, developing a background, a knowledge of CAP, right? So our history, how we operate with each other, you know, so we know that, you know, me being a lieutenant colonel, how do I report up to my wing commander, Colonel Bomer, for instance? How do local squadrons work, the nuts and bolts of how CAP works? But then, so there's a historical part, there's a customs and courtesy part, and then there's an understanding of our capabilities. And a lot of that is developed during this level one training, which is usually something that's done over the first few meetings. We also have a big emphasis on safety. We have, you know, our safety record is very, very high, excellent safety record, especially here in Michigan Wing. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to have that emphasis. We also have a big emphasis on the protection of our cadets. Just like, let's say, in scouting, We have senior members working with cadets, so we have very, very strict policies on how senior members and cadets interact with each other. So there's a lot of training there for senior members. It's basically for the protection of everyone and make sure our program has integrity.
And when we bring senior members in, all of our senior members have to be fingerprinted, and their fingerprints are sent to our national headquarters and then run through the FBI for background checks.
Okay.
One, that ensures that our cadets are protected, and two, it ensures that if there's someone who tries to join, that the Air Force would not want in an organization that deals directly with them because of their background, something in their background, then we can find that early on and make sure that doesn't happen.
And avoid certain situations that could happen later down the road.
Absolutely. It primarily was instituted to protect our cadets from people with a negative history.
Okay.
By coming and visiting the squadron, though, we would interview that person and talk to them again about how they might fit and what they're looking to achieve with us. And so that type of thing would come up during that interview and the discussion. And so right now we have that second Thursday of each month, and our next meeting is July 14th. And we're going to have a special night that night for, I'm hoping, a nice response of potential new members, and we'll give a really nice presentation on the various different things you can do in CAP, mm-hmm. and what's involved. That's at 6:30 at the Huron County Memorial, our Bad Axe Airport.
Okay, at 6:30.
Yep.
Right. Okay, so how does one, like, for example, let's say I want to be a part of like a search and rescue group. I really don't have training in search and rescue.
Correct.
So would you help me with that training?
Absolutely. Depending on how you want to do it, if you want it to be on an air crew or if you want it to be on a ground team. And we have both, because we use both groups. Can't just find something just from the air. You have to also have ground members. And so you choose which area you want to work in, and then we have specialized training. It may be a weekend. Some of the training is done at the local unit level, and then other training is done is in a larger group on a training weekend, and that we scatter our training weekends around the year and around the state so that everybody has opportunities to go. We have some special training events that happen if you choose to take them. For example, as I was telling you earlier, in a week and a half we have about 100 folks that will be going up to Camp Grayling, and we'll be training on Camp Grayling's post for ground teams. And we also have an air crew survival training, so that if you're on an air crew and your aircraft goes down, and you'll know how to survive after that happens. So we give all sorts of training, and we have very specific checklists that everybody has to check off to get the training before they're qualified. And so we hold about 6 SAR exercises or search and rescue exercises a year, and then we hold some local SAR exercises.
Well, you'd have to use different techniques depending on what time of year it is.
Absolutely.
Because in the summertime, when you have full bloom on the trees, you can't use the same techniques as if you were in dead of winter, when you have to also worry about wind chill and how deep is the snow. And
absolutely, there's training specific to the seasons, and quite honestly to the parts of the state. There are some plants in southern Michigan that are extremely dangerous, and it's an invasive plant, and so we have to make sure all of our members know about that when they're down there. We have, if you're working in some of the areas where it's swampy and boggy, you need to know what precautions you need to take there. So because our ground teams go into the woods, if that's where they have to go, they go into the woods, they go into the swamps, they go wherever they need to go.
Northern Michigan, I mean, wildlife even becomes
absolutely
an issue, and it can be a risk for us.
Yeah, you really wouldn't want to upset an elk or anything along that lines, because they're slightly bigger.
That's correct. They are.
And even there's bears, maybe.
Absolutely, bears, and if you're in the Upper Peninsula, while we've never had an incident, you know, they do have wolves there too.
Right.
So we're all very cautious, and we work with the local officials when we're on a search and rescue.
A big emphasis on safety. Everyone that goes out on these teams, they're trained, they have extensive in-classroom work that they accomplish. Then we go out on training exercises. They're always supervised in the field, and even cadets can go out on a ground team. But again, they're supervised, and there's a great emphasis on safety. Mm-hmm. Anytime we have anybody operating in the field, they're overseen by an incident commander. These people have the greatest level of training in CAP. They typically have a specialty background in either the ground team or the air crew or both, and then they work up into higher command and leadership positions within the search and rescue side of CAP. So there's a lot of oversight, and the training standards are high. And frankly, that's why we draw a really capable, you know, person, somebody that you know is interested. They want to volunteer their time because we're unpaid professionals, and we don't get compensated for anything we do. We do this as a service to our community because we want to serve, and we want an opportunity to you know help our fellow man. That's really what we're doing, and so you know it's a great organization to be part of. And I anybody patriotic, I know how patriotic folks in the Thumb are. I think it's something that they would find great interest in, being able to do something for their community.
Well, one of the things that you were talking about earlier as well was, yes, it's an unpaid way of giving back. But like, for example, you are called out in disaster situations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thankfully, not too many in Michigan, but you mentioned the aircraft that went down to Detroit.
Sure, Flight 255.
That you're,
years ago.
You were deployed out to, deployed, I guess.
That'd
you
be
were
a good word. Yeah.
Deployed
yeah.
out to help with that,
secure
with the
that scene,
secure
yeah.
the scene and help with the actual aircraft and such afterwards.
Absolutely.
And also during Sandy, you were asked to go all the way out there and even take pictures of the area and
coastline.
The coastline and how things, I guess, have changed, because that has, it will affect that for many years to come.
Yeah.
And other natural disasters and even man-made disasters,
yes.
like in the Gulf.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when you went to the Gulf, it was also like a picture-taking mission, or did you have to help in any other way?
That was Operation Gulf Leaker. Again, all volunteer force. No one was compensated. We all went down there. It was this was a sustained operation of over 100 days. We took hundreds of thousands of photographs. By any measure, we saved the U.S. government and our response there by them being able to use Civil Air Patrol assets and aerial photographers and aircraft, using us instead of using having to use Coast Guard helicopters or Coast Guard C-130s. The estimate is that we saved the government probably about $22 million.
And we kind of need that every once in a while.
Well, you know.
It helps.
It helps every once.
Every little bit helps. But we're a very cost-effective option. And that's why we're now under the 1st Air Force Air Command. The Air Force wanted our resources, the resources of CAP, close at hand, and very quickly available to them for these types of natural disasters. And it's floods, it's every major hurricane, certainly Hurricane Sandy, and other, and you mentioned even a man-made disaster, yes.
Okay, so being that this is a volunteer system, and knowing that you could be called out at any time on any day, you're required to go?
No.
You're not required,
but if you don't go, you're probably not going to get a call next time. We call people who we know are going to be reliable.
Right.
But you've done all the training and you've done all of that, and when you get the call,
you just
go, unless you absolutely for some reason can't. For example, two Christmases ago, so a year and a half ago, Christmas Eve, I'm sitting at home and I get a phone call. We have a mission. There's a lost aircraft near Port Huron. Now, I didn't respond by going because my job was to stay and monitor. But we had over 45 members from Southeast Michigan and the Port Huron area get up from their dining room table, leave their friends on Christmas Eve, and go out and look for a crashed aircraft. And we found it. And we found it, and in conjunction with some of the first responders in the St. Clair County area,
police and fire,
and unfortunately, it was a sad outcome, but again, 45 people got that phone call, and on Christmas Eve, and they were gone. They were right there to do the job that they had trained for, and were willing to do for their for their communities.
Their patrioticness just came out, their patriotism.
Yeah, now, Kelly, you asked, do we have to go? And, of course, the answer is no, because we're not active duty, we're not reservists, and we don't have that type of commission in one of the branches of the service. We're an all-volunteer force. So if I have to be at work because that's my primary job and I'm there to earn a living, I have to be at somebody's bedside because they're sick in the hospital or whatever, no, I don't have to go. But all the training, all the dedication, I've been in CAP now, and I'm probably one of our newest members, officers in CAP. I've only been in for 8 years in Michigan Wing Civil Air Patrol. But, I have a sense of duty from the training I've done, and I put all this effort and training into it, and I volunteer, and I take it very, very seriously. And when the call comes, I'm going to do everything I can to be there and to go.
And this should be something as well, not to deter people, but to let them know that this type of volunteerism, there could be times when you get called out at, family time, holiday time.
Absolutely.
And at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's generally when the call comes is at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, you usually don't get the 9-to-5ers, right?
No, the 9-to-5ers we just don't get. It's after a long day and you're dead tired or you're already asleep and that call comes and the phone rings. And so ever since I've been wing commander, I've hated it when my phone rings after midnight because it's never good.
And I can understand that part.
But we go back to the good fit for the member. And the member that wants to do emergency services and serve on a ground team or be in a part of an air crew, that's one thing. And those emergency calls might come. But other members, they focus on day-to-day training of our cadets, classroom-type work and training, again, aerospace education, educating our youth about our space program, things that, for whatever reason, there's not as great an emphasis now in school, in high school, middle school. It's just not the emphasis it used to be, not since when I went to school. And I think that we really fill a nice gap there. So just to be clear, there's so many, a variety of roles for folks. And if all you really have is, a couple evenings a month that you can contribute and you're not available for an on-call emergency type of basis, we still have a great fit for you and it's things you can contribute.
And you'll never get that phone call at 2 o'clock in the morning if you're doing that.
No.
And that's because that's not your role. You haven't been
there because
for it.
The roles are so vast and
they
so
are. We have a large number of positions and activities for everyone in Civil Air Patrol that at times it seems difficult to manage it all because there are so many different roles and different things that we do.
I think you do a great job, sir. I mean, Colonel Bomer has been our wing commander for 2 years now.
Yes.
He's serving second year of a 4-year term. And it's been a real honor to serve with him.
So when we were talking about the different roles, now granted you are really known for your search and rescue and that kind of thing, but you also mentioned at the beginning the STEAM projects. So this would be where like the teachers, the science teachers, the math teachers,
the art teachers. If we're talking about STEAM,
right?
Yep.
There's a rocket program.
We have a model rocketry program, and we have actually several members that launch gigantic rockets. I mean, the kind you need to get FAA clearance to before you launch.
Sure.
up into far up. I'm not even sure how far up they go, but they go great heights. But we have a model rocketry program. Our cadets participate. For the last 2 years, I've participated in a program called Cyber Patriot, which is sponsored by the Air Force Association, and that is a cyber or computer attack kind of program competition where they're working on computers and they're given tasks to prevent attacks attacks from happening to computer systems, and the tasks get progressively more difficult, and they progress through state, region, and national competitions. Civil Air Patrol has done very well over the last few years in those competitions.
So it's kind of like you're preventing someone trying to hack into your system.
Absolutely, you are. So that gives them practical experience when they go out into the real world to get jobs. Gives them practical experience if they go into the Air Force or one of the military branches. And into their cybersecurity section, because that's going to be one of the largest areas that we work in. We're working with robotics and with unmanned aerial vehicles. Most people call them drones. We still call them UAVs. And so we're working with those. We're not using them in emergency services yet. I can see the day when that's what when we will be using them. I think some dust has to settle as far as regulations and training and things like that before we take them on and use them in that way. But our cadets and senior members are learning how to build them and how to fly them and how to use them. So we have a large number of different activities that way.
Okay, so we there's the rescue, the search and rescue aspect. There's the teaching aspect and what they can get from them.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, do you also need like people that would just go out and basically do what you're doing? You're going out and you're saying, hey, there's the Civil Air Patrol is there. This is their history. This is what they do. This is we need people like you to help us
to promote. We do have public affairs officers, for instance, and most squadrons have a public affairs officer assigned. And they'll go out and do media stuff. They may go out and promote the our different programs and our events that are coming up. That's another role, another important role to fill at this BADAC squadron. I need comm people, people that have a background in like ham radio or communications, people that know radios and how to use them. We need those types of folks. You mentioned earlier having photographers. Our aerial photography mission, mm-hmm. Colonel Bomer, you mentioned photographers. These are important roles. And if somebody had that type of background that they felt they could volunteer, a few hours a month, we'd really like to talk to them.
Like medics and stuff that could help with like the training for
absolutely. We have a large number of emergency service personnel that that's what they do in their regular day jobs. They join with us and do that with Civil Air Patrol. We have a fairly good contingency of National and Air National Guard members that are current Air National Guard members or current Guard members that are members of Civil Air Patrol. We have folks from every walk of life. It's absolutely amazing some of the people I've met and to find out what they do or what they've done if they're retired. It's just absolutely fascinating. We have authors that they've written books and that's what they do. I'm an author and they're in Civil Air Patrol. They may be on an air crew or they may be on a ground team, but we all have different unique skills. There are actually a few speech pathologists in the organization too.
And they could help. Okay.
And they could help. They could be wing commander maybe.
Okay. Yes, I can see that working.
We do have a new member for the BADAC squadron, speech pathologist. I have another one that is a retired, master sergeant from the Air Force, and then another that's a physical therapist.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a pretty diverse group. It really is. Yeah.
And that would make it just it just kind of gets everybody together as well and sure. And works things through.
Absolutely.
Now,
because we're based at the airport too, I mean, there are a number of pilots there that fly out of BADACs, and I think that they would all be excellent candidates to fly for us.
And then, okay, let's say you've got pilots or maybe pilots that come in or somebody that has just moved into the area that may be a Civil Air Patrol member but of a different unit. Now, do they have to stay in that unit? Can they kind of transfer to this unit? Does it work that way? Like if, let's say you get a cadet in one of your programs and after they finished their schooling and have moved to a different area, they want to continue the Civil Air Patrol.
Yep.
But they're in a different area than where they started.
Some of our best prospects are former members, adults now. They've transferred to the area. They've completed their education, but they used to be cadets a while back. Those are great potential members for us to return, and really anyone from across the nation. That's the nice thing about CAP. Our training is very uniform. You should receive, whether you're in New York or California or Michigan, probably getting a very similar level of training, and so it transfers very well. So those are excellent prospects.
And transfers are not difficult. They're
very easy.
A matter of a few clicks on a computer.
Yeah, I was going to say, because the only thing that would change would be the geography.
Yep. That's correct.
Plant life and that kind of thing, if you're going to be doing, that type of...
I might have to get him a BADAC squadron patch, but other than that, yeah.
And I'm sure we could work that one out, couldn't
yes,
we? All right. Okay, so a reminder once again... July 14th. There is going to be a meeting at the airport, and you do meet here every month, right?
Yep. Currently, we're meeting the second Thursday of every month. So if somebody can't do July 14th, then we certainly welcome them the following. If they stop by the airport, we do have some pamphlets there, and typically we always have posted when our next meeting day is going to be. So currently one meeting a month, but we're going to be switching that to two meetings a month here in very short order, probably start that in August to go to two meetings a month, and it'll grow from there. So yeah.
So if you are interested, if whatever your skill may be, even if you think that you don't have anything to offer, you really do.
Right.
And are interested and want to give this level of patriotism, you just have to stop by the airport on July 14th. And if they can't make it that day, they can still get in touch with you and say, hey, I'm interested.
Yeah, we have National Headquarters has a very robust website. It's called GoCivilAirPatrol.com, GoCivilAirPatrol.com, and that'll answer any question you could ever ask about CAP, or how to join. But joining the local unit, I mean, a person, I'd welcome them. They could email me or stop by and meet me at the airport on one of our meeting nights. And my email is just chrisfelton@comcast.net. It's chrisfelton@comcast.net. And I'd be happy to answer questions or, you know, interview and welcome them at a meeting.
Okay, so, and did we miss anything? We missed a lot. I know we did, because there was just so much.
We could probably stand here and talk probably the rest of the day about Civil Air Patrol. But I know you have music to play and news to get to.
And
Kelly, I just want to say thank you very much for having us and hosting us today. And we really appreciate it. And we're hoping that the folks in the Thumb that are interested in something like Civil Air Patrol will come out on July 14th.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to hold you to it, and I'm going to have it recorded here. Okay. So it's going to be on file, plus everybody else is going to hear me. I'm going to put out there that I want to ride.
We did talk about that, didn't we?
We did, and the hand might be shaking a little bit to take pictures, but
so we'll make arrangements for a media ride for you.
I think that would be spectacular, take some pictures of the area
and interview probably Colonel Felton here, who will probably be your pilot, I would think. Or maybe someone else. Maybe we'll get you a better pilot. No.
Wait a minute.
We'll get you up in the air and get that media ride done for you.
And I think that would be, I mean, honestly, that would
Craig's
be spectacular.
Craig's going to be really upset that he's not here
well,
today,
he,
isn't he?
Well, he took vacation, so I get first dibs.
Okay.
Craig, you missed out. Yes.
There you go. All right, once again, I want to thank Colonel Curtis Bowman. He's the wing commander for Civil Air Patrol. And they're trying to get the unit started here at Baddox Airport in the Baddox area. And also Lieutenant Colonel Chris Felton, who has got to fly back out now. Darn.
Yeah.
and again, a reminder that if you would like, have any interest, would like to know more about Civil Air Patrol, they will be meeting at the Baddox Airport on July 14th, starting at 6:30. And there is going to be lots of ways that you can get involved and volunteer your time and just plain help and give back to the community in a good way. So, gentlemen, thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
Going to be looking forward to that flight. I really am. Thanks again for listening.